guys, and welcome back to The Big Picture with your hosts, Skyla Dempsey,
Claire Bentley,
Shiloh Williamson.
And for those of you who are just joining us, this podcast, The Big Picture Podcast, is Claire, Shiloh, and I will watch a movie based on a true story. Then we will come together and talk about how close the movie gets to the real events in the true story. Since this is going to be episode, what, four?
Episode four.
It's going to be our last episode until after Christmas.
Yes.
So, because of that, I think we're going to do a Christmas movie.
Christmas!
But first, before we get into the juicy parts, I think we should talk about the very controversial best Christmas news song and worst Christmas song. So I think we're all going to go around and say our least favorite Christmas song, and then our favorite Christmas song, and we're going to play you guys, like, the chorus of our favorite Christmas song, because we figured out our three least favorite songs are very recognizable by the name. And I think a few of us, I think all three of ours is a lot of people can agree with. So if you agree with our least favorite Christmas song, why don't you guys put it in the comments below if you guys agree with our least favorite Christmas song.
And or then we're put yours down.
Or put your least favorite or your favorite. And then I think we'll talk, and then we'll all go around and say one more thing of, what is our favorite Christmas activity to do? So I think Shiloh should start on this one. What's your least favorite Christmas song?
My least favorite is by the Jackson 5. I love them, but just not this one. It's I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
I'm not a big fan of that one either.
Yeah.
Okay, so really I'm not either, but I was raised on the Jackson 5.
Yeah, I love the Jackson 5.
This is, like, a natural song for me. It's not the greatest song, but it's also not the worst. I think Claire's is the worst.
Dude, I hate it so much.
Why don't you go?
So, my least favorite one, and I just hate it so much, is Santa Baby. I forgot who it's by, but I hate it.
A lot of
people did covers of it.
And I think mine's also another, like, some people love it, some people hate it, and I really hate it. Mine's, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Comes by so much. These are overplayed songs.
These three songs are the three songs that, like, when you're listening to the radio on a car trip for Christmas, like, you're going down to a family's from, like, 4 or 5 hours away, and these are the three songs that, like, seem to be the only three on the radio on any station.
Mm-hmm.
So, now I think we're going to go back to Shiloh. She's going to tell you her favorite song and play a little snippet, like, 10, 15 seconds of her song. So,
I'm sure you recognize this song. This is my favorite Christmas song.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
And that was Blue Christmas by Elvis Presley.
If you guys didn't understand that was Elvis Presley, I am so deeply disappointed.
Yeah.
Okay, Claire, your turn.
So, my top right now is actually Christmas in Dixie by Jason Aldean, and I'll play a little snippet of it for you guys. Oh.
Sunshine's falling down.
But. Yeah, so there's just a little piece of it.
And then mine is a very not well-known song.
I haven't heard of it.
Okay, so it's by Joe Diffie. Sadly, our favorite Joe Diffie had passed. But I grew up on Joe Diffie. I grew up on this Christmas song. For those of you who are, like, big Joe Diffie fans and, like, know this song, put in the comments below if you know or even if you've heard this song. My dad showed me this song when I was little, and, like, it's been my favorite Christmas song since. So it's called Leroy the Redneck Reindeer.
And like it or not, Leroy's in charge, and he's gonna be leading you.
It gets better.
And it was Leroy the Redneck Reindeer, look through the front of the sleigh.
So, that was our Christmas.
It's a very catchy Christmas song.
And this was, like, young Joe Diffie.
Mm-hmm.
It was
when was this?
I think it was 14 years ago.
Dang.
Ooh, that's not that bad.
So I was 2 when this song came out?
Mine was in 1957, so...
Oh, wow. It's the Jackson 5. Okay, now I think we're going to start with...
No, for Elvis's.
Oh, Elvis's, yeah.
Yeah, Elvis's.
Okay, so now, what is your favorite Christmas activity? I'm not, like, Christmas activity. I mean, not meaning, like, on Christmas Day. I mean, like, in the month of December when all the lights are up.
Winter activities. You know, I have never gone, but I've always wanted to go ice skating. And, yeah, it's always something I wanted to do. But, like, I always, like, even around Halloween and Christmas, I like going around and seeing the decorations that people put up. It's always fun.
I've been ice skating, and I suck at it, so I'm not a big fan of it. I couldn't... I mean, I only fell, like, twice. That's a lot less than I thought.
So yours, Shiloh, is going and looking at the Christmas lights or the Christmas decorations. What's yours, Claire?
I like when our family would take our truck up out in the snow, and we'd just go have fun up there in the mountains.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Snow drives. It's my favorite.
Or camping and stuff.
I have a few things. So my absolute favorite one is making Christmas candy, because, like, my family, we make Christmas cookies and fudge and, like, Trex Mix and, like, actual Christmas candies.
Mm-hmm.
But we pretty much just take, like, a whole 2 days out of the year, out of, like, our Christmas, like, out of our weekend during Christmas time, and make a whole bunch of sugar cookies and, like, Hershey Kiss cookies and peanut butter cookies. And we pretty much just make enough to, like, bring to our friends. So when we make some, Claire and Shiloh might just end up with a little box of goodies. Because I think we're making them next Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'll bring you guys some. But making Christmas candies, probably going tubing. So tubing.
Tubing?
No, okay, like, so snow, it's, like, snow
like
tubing.
Tubing.
Yeah. So it's called snow tubing. Oh, so pretty much, so my whole life, we've never had sleds. Like, actual sleds.
Yeah.
You know what we've had? We've had the inner tube, like, the inner lining tubes of a tractor tire.
I mean, that works, too. Oh
my sorry, gosh. The chair moves a lot. No, so, like, big tractor tires will have, like, this inner tube that you put the air in, like, just any other tire.
Yeah.
And we either get them from, like, our family friends from, like, live on ranches or something, or, like, go to Les Schwab's and get them, and we pretty much just blow them up with the air compressor until they're about ready to go kaboom. And then we just sled down the hill. We usually go up to Anatone and do that. That's fun. And then another thing, for the people who live in the LC Valley, which is Lewiston Clarkston Valley, if you guys type into your GPS, you too, because it's super pretty. There is this HOA, like, house area called Candy Cane Lane. And pretty much it's in their HOA come December 1st, unless it is your first year living there. You have to put a candy cane out by your mailbox. The candy cane gets left with the house. So, like, say you live in this house, and you just bought this house, say, 6 months ago. You do not have to put it out that first year. And it's literally in the HOA that when you move out, you have to leave the candy cane, and you have to literally show the new owners where the candy cane is stored. And come December 1st, you have to put a candy cane out by your mailbox. And it's not in the HOA that you have to decorate, but almost every house in Candy Cane Lane is just, like, just overflowed with Christmas lights. Some people, like, go and, like, decorate the trees in their yard. Like, it's a good.
Yeah,
so
like
that,
the downtown train area.
Locomotive Park?
Yeah, that's always decorated.
I like how
so
they
much.
Put the pressure pads on the dance floor, because then it, like... There's this place in the LC Valley over in Lewiston, and it's called Locomotive Park. And come Christmas time, they decorate. They, like, completely go all out.
Oh, they go all out.
They put the bell back up in the train so kids can ring the bell. They decorate the bell or the train. And then they have, like, this pretty much pressure pad that they put out on, like, this section of concrete. And pretty much each pad you step on lights up, like, triggers different lights. And it, like, there's, like, six trees around this pressure pad area that just all the lights go off, and then you just bounce on this pressure pad, and it's huge. It's, like, 12 foot by 12 foot.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that.
No, it's, like, in the middle, like, in the middle by the fire pit.
Okay.
That's what that is. Like, you know how the lights are always constantly flashing? It's kids bouncing on that pressure pad. But that's fun, too.
Yeah.
So I think that's our Christmas little go-out. Yeah. So, with it being Christmas... Sadly, I don't get to see the two girlies for, like, 2 weeks. We get out of school next week. Next Wednesday, right? The 20th?
Yes, next Wednesday, half day.
I don't get to see you two for 2 weeks. But it's fine, because we're going to be having so much Christmas fun. And when we come
back... Hunting? You're going to be hunting?
I'm going hunting. I'm going hunting. What's something you guys are going to be doing for Christmas? I know I'm going hunting and going up and, like, seeing my grandparents for Christmas. What's something you know for sure you're doing?
Well, we have, like, these friends and family that always come over, so we'll probably just hang out with them. Mm-hmm. I know that I'll go and see my boyfriend over the weekend, but it's probably going to be a chill
break. I love hearing about people's Christmas. They're like, yeah, it's super chill. We just open our presents, and I'm like... I have my Christmas at my house, then I have Christmas, so we usually do Christmas Eve at my mm-hmm. house, and then we do Christmas Day with either my mom's side of the family or my dad's side. So, like, this year we're doing Christmas Day with my mom's side. So then, New Year's, we'll go up and do our Christmas with my dad's side. Mm-hmm. Or with next year, we'll do Christmas Day with my dad's side and New Year's with my mom's side. And pretty much we switch off. And then there's, like, my family... And then both of my grandparents' family. And then, like, my friends will, like, my friend, like, the Secret Santa we do with friends. And then, like, and it's just so crazy. And I'm like, people are like, oh, yeah, my Christmas is going to be chill. And I'm like, I'm literally running around like a chicken with my head cut off up until 2 hours before we open presents. Like, how are your guys' family, like, so calm? Like, then again, my family is huge. My mom and my dad's
side. We don't have a very big family. It's just our... immediate family, usually. Our grandparents are retired, and
we used to go down staying. And see them, but they're down in Texas.
Yeah, they're staying in the warm.
The way you said that, down in Texas.
Oh, and Texas, but Texas, yeah, they're down.
Yeah, and most of our family's on the other side of the U.S. too. Mm-hmm. Even then, it's not even that much people.
Yeah, one of my other favorite things to do. So my dad, for those of you guys who don't know. And because our movie that we're talking about is also based around our military, I want to say thank you. Maybe there's some vets listening. Maybe there's some active duty members listening. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's family members of vets or active duty members. One, I want to give a big thank you to our veterans, because when they were in service, they may not have been able to come home for Christmas and see their family. Maybe there's active duty members. If you guys are listening, vets, active duty, or family of active duty and vets, thank you. Not only do the vets risk their lives every day, even after coming out of the military, our active duty members, some of them don't even get to come home for Christmas. Yeah. So if you're one of those active duty members who did not get to come or do not get to come home for Christmas this year, I myself, Claire and Shiloh, want to say happy New Year's and Merry Christmas. You guys mean a lot to us. And to the family of active duty members who don't get to see that person coming home, we hope your guys' Christmas and your New Year's is very good. And we are so sorry for the way things have gone with you and your family. And we want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. And we keep you and your family members in at heart and in prayer. But my dad is a veteran. He was a U.S. veteran, and he got out in 2001. So one thing we do is my dad's in contact still with a bunch of his military buddies that he went over and served with in Iraq and everything. And we call them, like, uncles and aunts. Yeah. So we take a video, and we send it to each uncle and aunt, like my Uncle B. We call him Uncle B, but his name is something else. I'm not going to put him out there like that. So we'll be like, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's, Uncle B. And we'll do that to my Uncle JJ, my uncle, all my other uncles, and we'll send them to him. And it's just a little, you know, a little light note for their day. But our movie... If you guys have been wondering, we've kind of been leaving you in suspense. Our movie is a Christmas movie, and it is called Operation Christmas Drop. I'm so excited because it's a movie based on the true story of something that started... Oh, gosh. I'll have to pull it up. I don't remember when it started. Hold on. Yeah. So, Operation Christmas Drop started in 1952.
That's crazy.
It's been a long time. And it's still going.
Yeah, gives you a little hope for humanity.
Yeah. So Operation Christmas Drop is pretty much what it is. It's called Operation Christmas Drop, Hope for Humanity. Mm-hmm. Literally what it is. That's,
oh,
like,
my gosh.
Right on, Claire. Or Shiloh. So, yeah. And then we'll start talking about that, I think, tomorrow. So, yay. Hi, everybody, and our guest for this episode is Sarah Dempsey, also correlation to my mom. So we have me, Skylar Dempsey, Claire, Bentley, Shiloh Williamson, and my mom. And my mom has seen the movie, so we're going to kind of go over the movie if someone wants to read off the first one.
Okay, so it starts off with Erica, who is a congressional assistant in Washington, D.C. She is tasked with the job of investigating a U.S. Air Force base in Guam. The ultimate goal is to find a reason to justify its closure.
Yeah, so that's kind of the beginning of the movie, and she's very city-like, and Guam's very more, like, laid-back. Yeah. Countryside. Pretty, though. If you want to read the next one.
Andrew is an Air Force captain chosen to show Erica around the U.S. Air Force base to convince her that it should remain open. She arrives 2 hours earlier than expected, then ditches him on his first on her first opportunity to try to explore on her own.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
She kind of hijacked the Jeep.
I thought she stole his Jeep.
I thought she was kind of done for that. But.
What do you have to say about that, Mom?
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so, why did I get stuck with the big one? Okay. The base has a yearly tradition of airlifting goods, to small islands of
Micronesia.
Okay, for Christmas. Andrew shows Erica around the base and various islands, explaining how they gather local donations for food and money, providing the base's resources, thus, it doesn't have anything to do with American tax dollars, are not being spent here. So that's, like, the main part of, like, the actual true story part, is that, like, none of it's being used. Like, American tax dollars are not being used.
Yeah, I think it was that they were using it for, like, testing and practice anyway.
We were talking about that. My mom and my dad were talking about that on our way home, or our way to school this morning. Mm-hmm. And it, once again, we said earlier in the episode, it's this thing called low-contact, low-altitude training. And it all started because some pilots were doing an LCLA, and Islanders got super excited.
Yeah.
You have anything to say, Mommy?
Well, and how they connect it for the movie is that one of the guys that is an Islander and his family's an Islander, he was part of the Air Force base, and then they got hit by a tsunami.
Tycoon.
And then they left. He left the base to go help them, and so that's kind of how, like, the movie wraps up the connection between them and the Islanders.
Yeah.
And how, like, how they know what the Islanders need and stuff, because they have that inside person.
Like a secret spy without being a secret
spy.
Yeah.
So in the movie, a shipment of 10 fir trees arrive at no cost. And it's all because Andrew's organ, he lives in Oregon, his friend donated the trees. And they come, like, he goes on, and he's talking to Erica about, like, all the different destinations that these trees had to go to get here. Mm-hmm. But it's all completely for free. And, so it's all through military flights and shipments and stuff. And they traded them in Guam for hotel sheets and food donations. So,
like, bags of rice, sheets.
Toys, whatever. Yeah.
And then to do with the fir trees arriving, Andrew's family lives back in Oregon, and he's stationed in Guam. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of the movie, we see Erica and Andrew, like, walking side by side, going to the general's house. And he was pretty bummed that he wasn't going to be able to see his family for Christmas, but Erica had a TV crew coming out to,
like,
to, like,
talk about the news, to, broadcasting news,
like a broadcast to broadcast the Operation Christmas Drop in Guam.
Yeah.
And they had a few extra spots on the plane, so she brought his family down for Christmas, and she kind of said the exact same thing was, I have my ways, no cost, like no cost, exactly what Andrew told her when the trees had come.
Mm-hmm.
And then
at the base's big solar powerful fundraising event, the rest of Erica's skepticism dissipates, and she and Andrew have a moment. The next day, as the care packages are being assembled, news of serious typhoon comes to Guam, and the planes are grounded, but Erica tells them to keep the faith.
Yeah, that's kind of like a big thing, especially for me, because I believe in Christmas miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my mom does too at this point. So, what do you have on that part, Mom? Like, with the whole, like, the typhoon coming and, like, Erica telling everybody to, like, keep their faith?
Well, it's because when she got there, she was, her mind was set on the mission that she had to
shut down
the
base.
Basically do all the research to figure out
how to shut down the space.
Yeah.
How to shut it down, and basically she got to, in person, you know, be part of what they do and the community that needs these things, and she was touched by the miracle of Christmas, which, you know, anybody who's human has had that, I believe, has had the miracle of Christmas happen in one way or another, whether it's giving, whether it's receiving, like, especially now in these days when times are hard.
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to, like, one little thing. So at the beginning of the movie, Erica gets put in this, like, base room, and it's pretty much for temporary visitors. They get put in this, like, room on base, and there's a little gecko, was it?
Yes, a gecko.
And he said that if you see a gecko as a joke, you get good luck. And just after the warning of the typhoon in Erica's like, keep your faith, good luck strikes, Christmas miracle happens, mm-hmm. and the weather clears. But wow, like, the whole thing of, like, the typhoon warning and everything, the congresswoman is who sent Erica out to shut down the space in Washington, from Washington. And after the weather clears, you kind of see her looking at this gecko on her wall, on her wall, thinking that he's good luck. And she decides to disobey her congresswoman's orders to head back to Washington just before the planes are set to take off. She shows up again and insists she leaves, like the congresswoman shows up to the base in Guam.
Yeah.
And insists, you leave right now, Erica. And Erica stands up for her, suggesting she also participated, meaning, like, so the general and this girl named Sunshine, or Sunshine? What's her name?
I think her name was Mom?
Is that correct?
I don't remember what her name was.
Okay, well, one of the other girls who's on the Air Force Base, and one of their buddies, and Claus, and Erica all go and go on one, along with the general, and then the commander, which is the general's wife,
mm-hmm.
and congresswoman, both go on another plane to do drops. The experience inspires the congresswoman, realizing her Christmas spirit and
Sunshine.
Okay, her name is Sunshine. And her determination that the tradition is worthwhile and the base should not be closed. So, pretty much this whole time, like, the congresswoman's on this flight, she starts to realize why she got into being a congresswoman, and, like, mm-hmm. when the congresswoman first showed up to the base in Guam, she was very upset, and she's like, well, they don't vote in my district, and very political about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then after going on, like, the trip.
Well, and then Erica reminded her, like, you know, remember the reason why you wanted to become Congress was, you know, to help people and you know, this is one way that you're helping people and saying word to why you wanted to be a congresswoman.
Yeah. And we see, so further, like, towards the beginning of the movie, middle beginning of the movie, I just want to jump back to this. Erica and Andrew go to this island, and that's when we find out that one of Andrew's friends was in the Air Force, but then after a typhoon hit them, he came back to help his family. Mm-hmm. And this guy's niece, who calls Andrew Uncle Andrew,
yeah,
like, meets Erica and all that, and Erica then ends up giving literally everything in her purse except for her wallet. Gives
she gives
hairbrushes.
Her purse. She's like, here, just take the
like,
whole
she
purse.
First gives him, like, highlighters and, like, a coloring pad, like, a notepad. Mm-hmm. And then she gives him, like, a hairbrush and some hair ties and some hair clips. Yeah. And, like, and then she just looks at this little girl who is, like, Andrew's niece and all of her friends and goes, you know what? And just takes her wallet out of her purse and goes, you can have the whole thing to carry. You can have even have the bag to carry your seashells in. And this little girl hands Erica a blue starfish.
Yeah.
And then we see that night, Erica ended up getting a tree from when the trees came in. And she puts this starfish as, like, the tree topper on her tree in her living room. And it just shows you, like, how fast somebody's mind can change when they get up in person. Like, I guarantee if something like that was to happen to any four of us, or anybody, really, they would be kind of standoffish and be like, whatever, whatever. And then once you got there in person, you'd be like, oh, my goodness. Like, yeah. Your heart would just melt,
yeah.
I feel like, and especially for my mom. She's a sucker for children. We always say we're not going to buy cookies or oranges from students to go on trips, and then they show up at our door, and my mom's like, let's buy $80 worth of stuff from them.
Not exactly, but...
close enough. She's a sucker for children. But
I am.
Especially during Christmas time. I guarantee you, if a bunch of little kids, like, showed up at our door,
mm-hmm.
and it's Christmas, like, during the summer, she'd be like, okay, cool. Christmas time, she'd be like, oh my goodness, yes. That's just who my mom is, and I love her. But, and then at the end of the movie, we see that a romance between Erica and Andrew...
yeah.
Looms during
you
kind of
see it like throughout
it was so
the whole
predictable.
Movie. Oh. It's like back and forth.
Yeah.
So we were talking to our teacher when we first started this episode. We're like, oh, it's not going to be a Hallmark movie. It's not a Hallmark movie. It's not a Hallmark movie.
It was so a Hallmark movie.
It was so a Hallmark movie.
I'm just like,
it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
But
like, just listening to it, like not even watching it first, I'm like, this is so a Hallmark movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
I kind of said it just so you two would watch it.
Yeah,
it's not a Hallmark movie. What are you talking about? Okay, we'll watch it. No, but I think that's pretty much everything. Is there anything you want to go back and recap on, Mama?
Not really. I think it's a good movie, and it captures the miracle of Christmas, where today and age, a lot of people are so worried about the hit items of the year, like the expensive stuff, and where this movie kind of brings it back down to reality, like,
these
you know,
islands
it doesn't
are...
matter what you get for Christmas, it's just the fact of giving, and where a lot of people in the world just need basic items to live every day.
Yeah. Like,
and that's why I really like this movie, is because in what we consider our fast-paced world, we kind of lose that sense of gratitude.
Yeah. Like, kids our age will be like, I want the iPhone 15 for Christmas. These Islander kids are like, oh my goodness, I got school books. I got a bag of rice. And they're jumping up and down. Oh my god, rice. Like, fishing nets. They're getting excited because they're getting the necessities to live. They're getting food. They're getting school books. Like, kids our age will be like, yes, iPhone. And these kids are like, finally, books. And we're like, it just shows you. Like, and in the movie and in real life, the furthest island out that that these pilots go out to is like, what, 11,000 miles there and 11,000 mm-hmm. miles back. That's just a 22,000 mile trip right there to the farthest island. And it's crazy. And it just shows you how much, like, people put in the work to, like, bring Christmas to children who don't get it. And, like, for the last 72 years, about?
Something like that, yeah.
These children have been getting excited because they get bags of rice and books and used toys for Christmas. Like, that just shows you. Like, I guarantee you, if a kid our age was to get a book and they ask for an iPhone and they get books and rice, they'd be like, oh, cool. But these kids are like, all they want is books and rice for Christmas because that's what they need. Mm-hmm. And it just shows you that there are still true human beings out in the world that are just wanting the basic necessities and they're not begging for more. Like, even like in the movie and in the true events, like, even the parachutes are used for sails on their boats.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows you, like, the crates are used for fire starters, and it's crazy. Like my mom said, it kind of shows you, like, the true spirit of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Did I know if I asked for a brand new iPhone, I sure as heck wouldn't get it.
Yeah, but that, like, that shows us, like, we ask for, like, more expensive things. Cause,
yeah, I know.
Because 9 times out of 10, yeah, there's a few families who can't really do big Christmases.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not also, like, living off of our natural resources. Like, granted, like, we go hunting and stuff, but, like, we're not living off of just that. Like, these islanders don't have stores. Like, they don't have general stores where we can just walk in and go buy clothes. Like, it's crazy. They have to get their clothes airdropped once a year. And that's crazy.
Or they make them by the materials and stuff they have.
Exactly. And that just, it shows you that there's, like, still true human beings out there.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's a human being. It just
shows you that, like,
there's different ways of living life, and, you know, you gotta just, you know, and some people are, what's the word?
Greedy?
Not greedy, because, like, say, you girls, for instance, the way you guys were raised is way different from the way that your parents were raised. Like,
yeah,
with, mm-hmm. like, just look at the technology aspect from when your parents were kids to how you guys were kids.
Our parents got the first iPhone, or, like, the first phone with a camera, and it would be, like, the Nokia something.
Yeah.
And they're like, cool, cameras!
I've got an iPhone 11.
Not even just a phone, like,
yeah.
When we were in school, we had computer labs, and we would have to write, like, our essays by hand, and then once a week we would go to the computer lab to type up our essays.
I thought you guys used typewriters.
And then,
sorry.
You know, like, you guys nowadays, you guys do majority of all your work on a computer.
Like, no joke, like, we literally carry a Chromebook around to and from school every day.
Well, when I was in elementary and middle school, we had a computer lab.
Well, that's because elementary students can't be trusted.
Giant Chromebooks. Before, like, any of the schools got Chromebooks.
But
or
at the
maybe
same
it was just
time.
Our school that was poor.
See, back when, like, you know, my mom was in high school, they didn't have, like, social media. I bet life was just so much easier because everyone's not so self-centered into their social media.
Exactly, like, and, like, also,
it's a different world, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Granted, the computers they had were, like, big boxes, and they'd run for, like, 10 minutes, and then they'd go, for, like, another hour, and then they'd be able to type for another 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of just how it was. Especially, like, video game systems now. My parents had a Nintendo. Granted, my Uncle Philip played on it the most of the time. But, like, and now we have, like, PS5s and Xboxes and, like, Nintendo Switches. We have, like, these Nintendos on the go. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, my uncle, he just had, like, old Segas and, you know, old mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Like, they're cool stereo. You know how, like, we get cool stereo systems and, like, subs in our car? Yeah. Their cool stereo system was the one I have in my room. And it's literally an 8-track, a cassette, and a radio, and
yeah.
a turntable all in one. With two big speakers that are, like, a foot by two, like, a foot and a half tall.
And record players.
And a record... Granted, I have those still. I have an 8-track. Yeah, I have a Walkman and all that.
Players.
But, like, it just shows you. And, like, for food, like my dad... Sorry, Dad. I don't know if he's listening. But if he wanted breakfast one morning and they were out of cereal, he would literally put toast, like, put bread in the toaster, cut it up, and once it came out of the toaster, pour cinnamon sugar and milk in a bowl. And that would be his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Where with us, like, our generation, 9 times out of 10, we're out of cereal. Hey, Mom, Dad, we're out of cereal. Okay, we'll go get you some today. The next morning, we have cereal in the cupboard. Like, and it just shows you how far, like, economy has come. And they're still, like, these Islander kids are, like, still, all they want is the necessities. And that's what they're cool with. And that's, it just shows you, like, there's still some, like, true-hearted people out there. And that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's also why I really like this movie, is because a lot of movies focus on the part of Christmas where everyone asks for, you know, like... They're, like, set on, oh, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want? And, you know, and pretty much at the end of those movies and stuff, the kids or the people get what they want. And this one, they don't focus on that.
Yeah. Like, for, like, Andrew tries talking to the town mayor of Guam, like, the town he's living in Guam.
Mm-hmm.
To get generators, and he's, like, the richest man on the island, and he won't. But then Erica comes along and talks him into donating 2 solar-powered generators to give to these islands to, like, recover from these typhoons.
Yeah.
Like, it just
Which I think they ended up giving them, if I'm right, I think they ended up giving the islanders, like, 15 or 20?
Yeah, in total.
Of them?
Yeah. Like, and it's just crazy. Like, they're not like my mom said, they're not focused on, oh, what do you want for Christmas, kid? What do you want for Christmas? They're like, the children are more, it's more focused on the children being like, we want books. We want to be able to learn. And, like, yeah. Also, the island that Erica goes and visits and sees Andrew's niece, it's, they didn't have a generator, they didn't have power, and the only way these kids could get online to do any sort of schooling was online, and they couldn't. Mm-hmm. Through the solar power generator, they were able to get back onto doing school, and literally all these kids wanted was to go to school. And there's kids our age who are literally like, Mom, can I just stay home from school today? Granted, I'm one of them, okay? Granted, I skip school to go hunting a lot.
Let's say I feel a little called out.
Right? But. Well, I didn't just out myself. I think I outed all three of us. And, like, the other day, my mom was talking, like, I got out of school to go hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's like, everything we wanted, or, like, no, it was when the natural gas leak happened. My parents were both like, when we want things as kids, like, our children get it. We, like, they wanted days off of school because of natural gas leaks or just because.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get it, and now look at us. It's like we never go to school practically. Like, these kids on these islands are like, I want to go to school. And then there's me. I don't want to go to school. I want to go hunting. Like,
that kid can gladly take my place.
Right? Right? Like, if for every Islander kid... For every kid who skipped school here on purpose,
mm-hmm.
put one Islander kid into school for a day, dude, I think every Islander kid out in, like, around Guam would go to school every day.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not all at the same time, but this kid would go this day, and then the next day this kid would go.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we just don't show up to school.
Like, yeah. Granted, it's a half-day Wednesday, but I'm not coming to school.
But, like, we have everything online. Everything is online. We have this thing called Google Classroom where we can just go... and get all of our work there.
I still don't do that.
Yeah, I know. And, like, these kids don't even have that, and it's sad.
But their life just must be so much more simple, not having it, all this technology. Well,
it might be more simple, like, to us, it might look like they it might be more simple because they don't have all this technology and they're not trying to keep up with the Joneses and, you know, like, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But to them, they're like, they think our life is so much simpler.
Yeah.
To us, their life is so much simpler because they don't have the internet, they don't have, like, social media. But to them, our life is easier because we could just go to the store and buy a candy bar any day of the week. To them, getting a candy bar is, like, luxury.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just crazy. And it shows you, like, two different sides of the world.
It shows how a lot of, like, us in the United States take things for granted.
Oh, my goodness. Like, yeah, we take a lot of things for granted.
My dad has always, like, put that on us because he grew up in Nepal because our grandma and grandpa were missionaries, and so they would travel around the world doing missions, and he got to spend some of his childhood in Nepal and how different it is there.
Yeah. My dad was in the army, and I think he saw a lot of that too, because he was where was he stationed, Mom? Iraq?
Jordan.
Germany. Like, he was stationed quite a few places where I think he also got to see that, like, these kids were happy to get a ball and kick it in the middle of the street. And now we're all like, we need grass fields to kick a ball.
I know.
And, like, these kids were happy walking around barefoot through the dirt, and now we're like, that's nasty. Well, not to me, but,
yeah,
like...
Not me.
I can walk around the dirt.
I used to run around everywhere barefoot.
I used to until we started getting goat heads, and then my parents were like, put shoes on, and I put flip-flops on, I'd still get goat heads.
We didn't, like, back where we live on the west side, I swear, there were no goat heads over there, they were blackberries.
That so there's thorns everywhere.
Yeah. Like, Elk River, I go to Elk River, and half the time my mom has to yell at me to put my boots on, because I'll walk out of the camper without shoes on and just walk around. My mom's like, put your shoes on, I'm like, okay, sorry. But, like, these kids are happy to get a ball just to kick it around for 10, 15 minutes a day. And that's all they do, and that's what's fun to them. To us, we kick it around for, like, 4 minutes, and we're like, okay, we're bored. What's next? And, like, yeah. You have anything else to say, Mom?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, so I think that wraps it up for this episode. We're going to let you stay on for our outro, so... These two girls just look at me weird. So that is the end of episode 4, right?
I think it's
episode four. Operation Christmas Drop. So take one, episode four, cut. Perfect. Bye.